Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
To roll out the Friday edition of Sport Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and of course, we all know what Friday is.
Start spreading the news.
That, of course, means that Schomburg Stu is here. How you doing, Stu?
I'm doing okay. What's going on in the world of sports?
Yeah, you want to call into the podcast and talk to Stu and I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, we'd greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but I am out there at Burke Time. Feel free to send me anything you want to pass along to Stu, and I will make sure he gets it. All right. So, I just found out, I didn't realize this was going on today, but apparently, as soon as you and I get off the air, the NBA is going to be releasing its schedule. So I thought that was pretty interesting. Now, you know, the thing I want to run by you, I want to get your opinion here, is they've had two players already opt out. Now, you know, they said there was no penalty, no big deal. You understand why these guys are doing it. But apparently there's been a lot of what you would call unnamed players, or players who didn't want to attach their name to their statements, henceforth making them unnamed, that are saying it's a bad idea because they think it would hurt their movement. Now, I'm under the impression they're talking about the Black Lives Matter issue that is going on. Nobody actually said that, but you associate black athletes with the NBA more than anything else. Do you think they got a case here, Stu? Because I actually think they're wrong, but I want to get your take on it first.
It's hard to equate one thing with the other. I think that they're incorrect with this because, let's face it, well, as you pointed out, the majority of players in the NBA are black. So does that mean they're all going to boycott the entire season? And what purpose would that serve?
Yeah, well, you know, because the way I looked at it, and I thought this made perfect sense, you know, go and play the season. Because what happens after every NBA game? They're going to get a national interview either on the Mickey Mouse Network or TNT, and your local newspaper is going to be there to cover it, be it virtually or however we're going to do these things now. I actually think these players now have an opportunity to get more exposure than they've ever had because they're going to be playing these games. And I didn't understand the negative, and I still don't, you know, understand the negative on why guys think this would actually take away. It almost seems like they're saying people can't do two things at once. You know, like you can't watch the NBA and you can't protest.
And look, life goes on. Life goes on. There was an unfortunate thing that happened, and certainly the things have been happening for years and years without all the publicity that we've seen about recently, and that's just a fact of life. And as you pointed out, it would be interesting to hear some interesting remarks from the players after the game is over, and the winning team's player would make a statement regarding their opinion on the Black Lives movement and everything else that's going on in society. And they probably would have to take someone who's well-spoken, but that's not a big issue. Some players can address it very well, others can't. So it will be in their best interest to choose not the best player in the game, but someone who can address the issues on an intelligent level.
Yeah, well, you know, like the even, you know, thing that I just didn't understand by that is, you know, you're going to get some of these teams that are in this bubble situation that they have going on. And now, you know, there's not going to be a big call to interview players from like the Phoenix Suns or maybe the Memphis Grizzlies on a national level. But, you know, locally, these guys are stars, so their local media is going to want to talk to them. That gives them a direct line to the people they want to talk about their quote-unquote movement. And, yeah, I mean, just the fact that I you know, well, it's going to take away from it, I thought was just kind of a ludicrous statement. You know, because now, you know, while you may not have as many people protesting, you'll have more people with a microphone in their face to talk about it. And that's kind of what you want, isn't it?
You would think so. And let's assume for the moment that the virus didn't happen. Would that mean that when this happened, the 90% of the NBA would boycott the rest of the games because of their dissatisfaction with society in general? Or would the games continue?
Right, that's an interesting question, because I honestly believe it would have just continued right along like nothing was going on. You know, I mean, you know, you have to understand that while it was a horrible thing, and let's face it, that cop committed murder, there's no two ways about it. You know, but if we would have been in a normal society, the NBA wouldn't have stopped, the NHL wouldn't have stopped, we would have been playing Major League Baseball. All this stuff would have just kept going.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but the fact that we were, you know, everything was dead in the water brought a whole lot more attention to this, and that's what's brought us, you know, to where we are now.
Yeah, but you know, if there were no virus, then what would have happened with that? Probably what you suggested, that there would be a lot of discussions about it when the players were interviewed before and after the game, and really getting their opinions out to the public and telling them how badly the situation is and how bad it's been going on for so many years, and it's time to address it. But at least they would have a forum to talk about it, which is what they should be looking for, and not just saying that it's going to impact the movement itself if they were to get back to action. It really doesn't make any sense.
No, and, you know, oddly, this is the time they need them more than ever to get those microphones, you know, in front of their face, you know, and continue to talk about it, because, you know, like lately, you know, I haven't heard as much about it as obviously right from the beginning. And, you know, that's what happens with these things like anything. They start to lose a little steam. Now, this gives them their opportunity to kind of reignite what they're doing. And, you know, like, hey, you know, don't forget about this. We still have this going on. You know, and that's, you know, this is, you know, and again, you know, the NBA, I think by far is probably the biggest sport dominated by black athletes. So, you know, they're the ones that really need to step up and kind of take the banner and run with it. And this gives them that opportunity to do it. And, you know, again, I mean, it almost, you know, like if it would have been me, I would have been insulted by the fact that this, you know, these players thought that I couldn't do two things at once, you know, because that's what they kind of made it out to be like, is, well, we can't play because it'll detract from this.
Yeah.
Well, no, people can still have a voice.
And what about the NFL players? What are they going to say about this when their games start? Would they also not play because it would take away from the?
Yeah, you know, the NBA are the only players I've heard mention this. I haven't heard anything from, you know, any other teams or any other leagues. You know, and again, you know, you have to understand that it was guys who didn't want to attach their name to it. So, you know, that's always something that, you know, you have to look at, because everybody's out there not being afraid to say, you know, pretty much anything. But for some reason, these players didn't want to come forward and say, you know, it was their idea or this is what they think. So, you know, that makes me question things immediately.
Yeah, and let's also discuss the virus issue as well. Now, you said there's a couple of players who are reluctant to play now. Are there more players out there who are considering not playing as well, but they just haven't put their names forward?
Yeah, well, we're gonna find out if there are. I mean, officially right now there are only two players. You know, Avery Bradley of the Lakers and Willie Cauley-Stein of the Mavericks have both opted out of the remainder of the season. So, but yeah, other than that, I mean, I haven't heard anything else. I haven't read anything else. So, you know, as far as I know, it's just two. I did find it humorous that Kevin Durant made a statement today saying, you know, if he was able to play, he wouldn't play. You know, and I got to tell you, Stu, I got to call complete BS on that, because it's really easy when you're hurt and you're not going to be able to play to go, oh, yeah, well, I wouldn't play anyways. And I don't buy a guy like Kevin Durant, who's a multiple world champion and an MVP winner, sitting out. You know, like, you don't see the LeBron James or the Kawhi Leonards or the Giannis Antetokounmpos. You know, they're all ready to play in, you know, one way, shape, or form. So I just don't buy Durant's thing here. I just think he's trying to ingratiate himself to a, you know, to a group of people, you know, and, you know, and try to be that guy where, you know, he's the hero.
You mentioned that there was a schedule that's coming out in about an hour or so, correct?
Yeah, 6 o'clock is the release time.
And is there any indication as to when the games would start?
No, well, you know, they had a date. I believe it was close to the end of the month was what – or the end of July, excuse me, because we're still in June. I almost forgot that we were still in June. But, yeah, that, you know, that was kind of the original plan. I don't know if that's still the case. I mean, obviously we're going to find out here in a, you know, in a little bit, because, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network is going to televise it like it's the, you know, the greatest event in sports history. But, I had kind of heard that, you know, the original plan was the end of July, was they were going to get back up and running. You know, they were going to go to camps. You know, everybody was going to meet in Orlando and train and then get started. But yeah, we'll find out officially here in, you know, about 45 minutes. Of course, I'm sure they'll drag it out as long as they can, so it'll take longer than that.
Now, let's assume the season starts when they said it's going to start. Are all the games going to be played in Orlando?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know how many courts they're planning on using or what they're going to do that way, but all the games are going to be played in Orlando, Florida, and all the teams will be staying in the, or, you know, in the immediate Orlando area. That's why they're calling it their bubble. You know, that's the name they're using for it.
Well, don't forget, of course, and one thing that worries me is that Florida is one of the states that have really spiked in terms of additional cases of the virus.
Yeah, they actually had 9,000 new reports today alone.
And no matter how much precautions they take, if one or two players come down with it, it could snowball and lead to a lot more players, and then the season would really have to be canceled. So let's hope it doesn't happen, but it's a possibility.
Maybe all those idiots shouldn't have went to the beach in Florida. You know, that probably would have been a better idea looking back on it. But, hey, you know, they thought they were cool and they had to get out. So there you go. There's what you get for it. But they do have, you know, the NBA right now has 16 confirmed positive tests, player-wise. So, you know, they have their plan in place. You know, I know I saw, I'm trying to remember what it was on how they're going to handle, you know, if somebody has a positive test or if somebody starts to show symptoms. But, yeah, so, you know, we'll have to kind of see. I mean, at this point, you can't really wait for this to be over, because it just doesn't seem like it's going to end.
No, and Here's a scenario for you that really worries me. What happens if an entire team comes down with the virus? What happens then? Do they cancel the season immediately, or is that team out of competition and then the rest of the teams go forward? Or do they have a pool generated and players from other teams are picked by the team to start again? I mean, how do they work out that possibility?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that would be a very rare case that an entire team could get it. What the National Women's Soccer League ended up doing is they had a team test positive. Not a team, but they had six players on a team test positive. And now this, of course, was before their season started. They just eliminated that team and replaced them with another one. So, and they actually get going tomorrow. They're going to get moving along with their, I think they're doing a tournament. But yeah, they eliminated, oddly enough, it was the Orlando team that was removed from the tournament because of the positive tests. So I don't know in the case of what the NBA might try to do if they had a team that had multiple players test positive. I mean, I guess your only option would be to eliminate them, but I don't know, there's really no good way to replace them. You would almost have to give them, they're facing a bye.
Yeah, what happens if it's the Lakers? What would the networks do? They would commit Harry Caray, I think, huh, if that happened.
Yeah, I think if, you lost one of the bigger stars, it might be handled a different way. Like, say we use the Lakers as an example. If they had six guys come down with it and one of them was LeBron James, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they would put the season on hold again and allow them to recover and give us the idea that, well, this is the fair way to go about it and try to sell us on that, when everybody would realize that the only reason we're doing this is because it's the Lakers.
That's right.
If it was the Suns or the Grizzlies, like I mentioned earlier, nobody, we would just keep right on playing.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be interesting to see what happens when the season, if they actually start playing, what kind of ratings they're going to get. Would they get higher ratings than they had before, which were never very much to begin with, especially in the regular season?
Yeah, I definitely think this is their opportunity to try to get fans back. I don't know if it'll work. But, I think right out of the gate, there's going to be a lot of people tuning in just because we need something else to watch.
Yeah. But you hope it's not going to be like the great ratings that the AAF and the XFL started out with. Now, how long did that last?
Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me if that, and it's a lot's going to depend on what else is going on, who else is up and running and who's playing and, because it looks like they're all going to end up starting, be it baseball, basketball, and hockey, are all going to start right around the same time, which is really, really too bad for them because the Smart League would have got out ahead of it, and been the first one to try to recoup what ratings you could get. But, obviously the baseball side, they're idiots because they couldn't agree to anything. Hockey can't seem to find two cities to play in. And I don't know what the NBA's problem was. They just were all over the place. So.
Well, it's certainly a unique thing in the world of sports, something we've never experienced before. And you hope that at least they could start the seasons with minimal amount of players getting ill.
Yeah, and they should be able to do that. And a lot of it, and what people have to understand, and they don't seem to kind of get this, is like I mentioned that the NBA had 16 players test positive. that's not the NBA's fault. They don't have these people together. But yet, you know, they immediately start pointing fingers going, oh, my God, look, you know, this is an NBA player and he's sick. Why did the NBA let him get sick? Well, they didn't let him get sick. They're not in control of these guys right now. They're not in camps. They're not in training. They're not playing games. They're out living their own lives. The same with the NFL guys. You know, Ezekiel Elliott got sick. No real surprise because they had videos of him out on the town. So it wasn't a shock when he came down with it. The same thing with the other NBA player, Novak Djokovic. He was at a disco in Russia and got sick. So, you know, they're making their own choices. They're living their own lives. And that they're allowed to do that. So, you know, it's not the league's fault. You can't go, well, it's the NBA's fault, or if it, you know, and the one they like to blame, of course, is the NFL and Roger Goodell. But, you know, it's not their fault. It's not baseball's fault. It's not the NHL's fault. You know, you're on your own. You know, we're allowed to live on our own, and that just happens.
Yeah, you would think the athletes would be a little bit smarter than that, considering what's going on with how contagious the virus is, but some of them don't appear to care. They're going to go out and party the same way they did before, and now some of them are paying the price.
Yeah, you know better than these guys aren't that smart. They're not gonna. They're gonna what they want when they want because they have the money to do it. It's just that simple. So
yeah,
you know, as much as it would be great to give them credit and you know make them think that they're actually doing something, you know, important or specific, and I'm sure some of them are, you know, there's always going to be a group of them that are just moronic and do, you know, if you give them choices, they're going to take the dumbest option possible.
Well, I see where one NBA player made a very smart choice, and that would be Vince Carter.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know. Was it a smart choice? He probably could have still kept playing, but I guess 22 years is enough.
Yeah, I think 22 years. I think he's accumulated enough funds in those 22 years to not worry about playing anymore. And believe me, I think it was a very smart decision on his part. I mean, maybe he would have gone another year if there were no virus. But to me, he's making a very, very wise and correct choice.
Yeah, and, you know, you do wonder if things possibly get back to normal, you know, if a team calls him next year, maybe he'll change his mind, you know, depending on that team, you know, because the one thing he didn't manage to do in his career was win an NBA title.
That's true.
So, because Dan and I talked a little bit about it yesterday, and, you know, we figured out that he made about $185 million in his NBA career. So I would like to think he's okay.
You would think so. And I know you could probably live on that the rest of your life without any problems.
Yeah, I would be just fine. And, you know, like I said, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if he stays retired or, if, you know, maybe there's a team that could draw him out in the, you know, the right scenario. But, you know, hopefully, I mean, he seems like he's walking away in a good place. And, you know, hopefully he stays there and, you know, he's happy with it because, he, you know, he's going to go down as one of the best dunkers in NBA history.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's sad times in the world of sports, though, really. And it'll be nice to see this behind us and get back to normal, but I fear that won't happen until next year.
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, you know, it's going to take some time, and you know, unless somebody miraculously find a miracle cure or something that, you know, they can take care of this. Otherwise, we're there's a good chance we'll be dealing with this when these leagues try to start their next season.
Right.
Because the NBA. The NBA has mentioned with this going on that they may not start next year until Christmas. So, you know, I don't know how many games they would be. I don't know if they would try to play all 82 games. They didn't mention that. But yeah, they, you know, because it looks like both the NBA and the NHL are going to have to push back the start of what would be their, you know, 2020-21 season, because, you know, this one isn't going to end till about the time those would be starting anyways.
So they wouldn't be starting for what, about 6 weeks later than normal, approximately?
Yeah, I guess depending on what they come up with, and, you know, like Christmas Day isn't a bad start time for the NBA because that's been their showcase day as of late. I honestly thought they would be better off starting at Thanksgiving to give teams a month to kind of be playing quality basketball because, you know, some of those first few games of the season can be ugly. But, you know, it's a player-driven league, and they're going to give the players what they want. So if the players want more time off, they're going to get more time off because they've done it before.
Sure. Sure. And, yeah, that'll be the logical time to start would be Thanksgiving. And unfortunately, though, they'd be up against a couple of NFL games. And competition-wise, you know who would win the rating battle in that one.
Yeah, you know, but if they play at night, you know, there's only, you know, that one later NFL game. And, I mean, they don't have to start Thanksgiving Day. They could start Thanksgiving weekend. So, but yeah, I just thought, you know, they needed a little time to, you know, get the kinks worked out like a lot of teams do. But, you know, we'll see. And that's so far away. I mean, we're probably better off waiting until they get through this season first before we start to worry about next season.
Yeah. Let's play some ball now because it's with the rerun season as it is now, it's kind of difficult to find something to watch at night despite all the channels that we have available.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, everybody's dying for something to watch. So, you know, anything new would be good right now.
I had a laugh at myself last night. I gotta tell you quickly. I had a laugh at myself last night. I turned on and I don't watch the whole thing, but they're showing the 2015 Stanley Cup playoffs, and the Blackhawks are playing last night. And I see a nice goal comes in, and I actually got a goal. I said, "Wait a minute, this game's 5 years old."
Yeah. Well, I flipped by before we got started here. I was just kind of flipping channels and I went by something that we will probably never see again. It was the 1970 World Series, Game 5 of the 1970 World Series, the Baltimore Orioles against the Cincinnati Reds. And not that we'll never see that again, but the thing that we won't probably ever see again is Mike Cuellar was the pitcher for the Orioles. He pitched a complete game in the World Series, which will probably never happen again.
Not in today's baseball, that's for sure.
So.
I wonder, that's a good point. I wonder when the last time a pitcher has completed a complete nine-inning game in the World Series. That'll be interesting stat to look up, wouldn't it?
Yeah, boy, yeah. Sadly, I can't just type that in and, see what pops up. But, yeah, that would, because you've got to figure it's been a while. I know the White Sox, when they were in against the Astros, they had some guys go deep into games, but I don't know if they ever completed any of them. So
I'm thinking maybe did Mark Burley complete one of those games? I'm trying to think now if that happened or not.
That's what I'm trying to think of. You know, it's just tough to remember, you know, who pitched where or
right. Or,
what it worked out. But,
it was definitely an odd World Series when they beat Houston 4 straight, and there's some odd things that happened in that series. I think one game went 15, 16 innings, and so there were some strange things that happened.
Yeah, I know I did find some stats, the last complete game one hitter was back in 1967. That was Jim Longborg of the Red Sox. Obviously, there's been other complete games since then. Yeah, I'm looking here to see if they have anything listed, like what would be the last complete game, but I don't see it here. Yeah, no hitter, no last no hit bid. Oh, well, this hasn't been updated in a little while because they have the only pitcher to pitch in all seven games is Darryl Knowles. But I think Joe Kelly did it for the Red Sox the other year. But
yeah, I wouldn't look for any complete games in a World Series just anytime soon, if ever again.
Yeah, no. Yeah, when you think about it, and you know that even kind of brings me to the point of where. You know, Dave Roberts just came out the other day and mentioned that starting pitchers will probably only go four innings when the season gets started. So,
and are they going to work the stats the same way then and say if a starting pitcher, because of what's going on, only pitches four innings, say he has a 6-0 lead? Well, he's not going to get credit for the win unless they change the rules for this season.
Well, you know, actually, that's up to the official scorer. He can award the win to whoever he feels necessary. So, you know, if he decides that, you know, this person or this player should be the one who gets credit for the win, he can give it to him.
Yeah,
you know, and obviously do that, but he could if he wanted to.
It'll make for some interesting decisions. And, of course, there's another interesting rule I saw that they're going to have for the 60-game season. And I think they've used it in the minor leagues, but maybe I need your opinion if you're for or against it. In an extra inning game, they'll start out with the runner on second base when the inning starts, the extra inning start.
Yeah, don't even get me started. That's the most incredibly stupid thing I've ever heard. So
well, we're in agreement. We're certainly in agreement on that one. And I find that, maybe it's a one shot just because of this crazy season that they're going to do that. They don't want the players to get to play a 16-7 inning marathon under these adverse conditions with the threat of the virus hanging in the air. Well, would that stop it from happening?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, okay, you don't want them to play extra inning games. Put the guy out there every inning. So, you know, run him out there and let him, you know, let him do it every inning. Whoever makes the last out goes out on second base, like when you were a little kid, and let them. You know, let them take care of it. But yeah, it's just
it's
so incredibly stupid that
have they used that rule, by the way, in the minor leagues.
You know, apparently they did, or at least they were saying they did. But I don't remember. I remember talking about it, but I don't remember if they ever actually did it. So.
Another rule, of course, that both leagues are going to have the DH now. If the DH is permanently implemented in the National League, are you going to miss the strategy involved when a pitcher comes up with men on base?
Yeah, well, you know, my biggest issue with it is the fact that when I started watching baseball, the thing I enjoyed about it was the fact that it was different. You know, the National League was different from the American League. So it, you know, it made things a little more interesting. Now it's the same boring game, but I mean, they've literally killed baseball so much that it doesn't matter what they do anymore.
No,
you know, I
no.
mean, it's, you know, it's such a fiasco. You know, they've had these stupid ideas about speeding up the game, but then they go out and they juice up the baseball so you hit more home runs, and that slows down the game. You know, and then you got all the pitching changes because everybody's a specialist now. That slows down the game. Well, we're going to speed it up by eliminating the intentional walk. Yeah, okay, great, you're morons. So, yeah, I mean, I'm so numb to the stupidity of the people who run baseball, because what they just can't seem to understand is you're never going to make the game fast enough for the younger audience that you're trying to attract, and all you're doing is you're irritating the people who already love the game. You know, the only way you're going to get a younger audience is you need fathers to introduce the game to their sons, and their sons have to take it on from there. Or, you know, or their daughters, whoever their kids are. I don't want to exclusively mean that it's male-dominated there. You know, and that's the way it works. I mean, my dad was a baseball fan, so I started watching baseball, and I liked it. His dad was a baseball fan. That's how he got introduced to it, and he liked it. I actually have a – when you go – way back, we had a relative, a Robert John Burke, who actually played for the New York Giants back in like the 1800s when baseball started. So, you know, it just depends how your family is and what they,
right.
You know, what
yeah.
they like. You know, that, or, you know, maybe you pick it up, you know, maybe you play as a kid and you like it, so you stay, you know, you keep watching it.
Yeah, that's another reason. Well, certainly my dad was a big sports fan, and that's how I got involved with the Cubs and the Bears and basketball eventually. But first the Stags. When I first started listening to sports, the Chicago Stags were the basketball team in the Chicago area. They played at the Chicago Stadium. I saw several games there. There was no 24-second rule, so you can imagine the score of some of those games.
Yeah. No, I remember the college game before they had the shot clock, and you know that's just how it was back then. But yeah, you know, and I mean, because that's the tough part. Because I mean, you know, you look at the world now, and you look what kids are into. And you know, one of the big things that I jokingly mentioned to you about you having a TikTok account. Well, you know what TikTok is you post like a 15 or 30 second video. Of course, the website is run through a Chinese company, so they're getting all your information. So good luck with that when you sign up for TikTok. But hey, that's your problem. But yeah, so you know, I mean, it's just shorter and shorter attention span. You know, now you've only got to pay attention to something for 15 seconds. That, you know, that's not going to lead you to watching baseball.
It's a strange world now, certainly with the social media and these people not having an attention span to be able to watch a sporting event like baseball. It's sad, but that's the way it is. Oh, by the way, speaking of baseball, have you heard this possibility of a rule change?
I haven't heard that one. I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, if a player goes out of the game, say he's in room for a pinch hitter, later on in the game, they're talking about, well, he can go back in now, even though he's been removed out of the game. And whether that will fly, that's an interesting one, an interesting possibility. I saw that the other day, but, of course, it wasn't talked about very seriously, but that was they did talk about it. They mentioned it, the possibility, and that would be a kick in the butt, huh, if that happened.
That's a variation on a rule that little leagues and high school use. You know, like you can actually take a player, you know, like a player can get a base hit, and I believe in little league you can only use it for your pitcher, but I think in high school you can actually designate a player to do this with, where like, you know, like if your pitcher was to get on base in little league, you can have a guy go run for him, but then the pitcher stays in the game. So, you know, it's just kind of, you know, kind of like that. And I know in high school we used to do it We had a kid who was a fantastic defensive shortstop but couldn't hit his weight. He played defense and somebody else hit. And it was like having a DH for your shortstop in our case because the kid just couldn't hit. So, you know, so, yeah, it's kind of a little variation on that type of rule. But, yeah, that's another thing that's just incredibly stupid. Why would you think that's going to make people enjoy the game more?
Yeah, I vaguely remember this story happening, and I think it was way, way before you started to pay attention to baseball, but this is when Phil Cavaretta was the manager of the Cubs. Towards the end of the season, two also, of course, the Cubs are in last place, and they're playing another poor team. There's a few games left in the season, and the opposing team of the Cubs ran out of catchers. There were a couple of injuries. They had no one to put back in as a catcher, and Phil Cavaretta let them put in a catcher who had been taken out of the game. And I remember the public address announcer announcing to the crowd, this player is going back into the game thanks to the courtesy of manager Phil Cavaretta. I always remember that one. And it was a very, very unusual story. Of course, when you're at a seventh and eighth place team, they're going at it with a week to go in the season, and they're 50 games out of first place. I guess it's not all that important.
Yeah, you know, I know there was some talk years ago about allowing catchers to re-enter. I don't know. You know, it didn't really go anywhere. But, you know, that had been mentioned as an option before, which I kind of understood, you know, like in a situation like that, you know, because teams only carry – you know, two catchers, and then, you know, if they're lucky, they have an emergency guy. But, yeah, so I could understand if they did that for catchers and catchers only, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But to do it for anybody,
Right, it wouldn't work. Do most teams have an emergency catcher on their team?
Not so much anymore. You know, before there always used to be that, you know, odd little utility guy who could catch if needed. You know, like obviously the Cubs would have a guy in like a Kyle Schwarber.
Correct.
Who, you know, if needed to be, could catch. But, yeah, there's not a lot of guys like that. I mean, if you remember years ago, the White Sox had a guy, I believe it was in the 70s, by the name of Mike Squires, who was their third-string emergency catcher. The only issue with Mike Squires was the fact that he was left-handed. And I know he did have to catch a couple innings here and there for emergency purposes. But, yeah, that's one of those things that the roster spot became too important to either carry the third catcher or just a guy who could – you know, play some multiple positions and catch as well. So.
Well, you've caught, of course, and catching is the most dangerous position, would you say, on the team?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You know, catching or pitching, depending on, you know, if you got guys hitting rockets back at you.
Right. Well, we all know what happened to Herb Score, but the catcher position to me seems to be so dangerous. I mean, with all the protection that they have, all the padding and the protection, they still got hit where it hurts quite a few times. Let's put it that way.
So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, and I mean, obviously, you know, there's inherent danger, you know, in all the parts. I mean, if you run into a wall or you get hit by a pitch or, you know, a ball takes a bad hop from you while you're at a, you know, you're at a position, you know, but yeah, you know, obviously catching is the main thing because, you know, you basically, you know, you are involved in every play, you know, you and the pitcher are the only two guys involved in every pitch. So
the Yankees in Pittsburgh, but there was a bad hop to the shortstop, and this is a very important, critical part of the game, and it may have been Game 7 of the World Series, and the ball took a bad hop and hit him in the throat. And, of course, he couldn't make the play, and, boy, that's a scary situation when something like that But that happened to be a critical moment in the ball game. So I guess anything can happen in a game of baseball.
So, yeah, you know, and that's the, you know, the thing that kind of makes it, you know, interesting is, I mean, you never know what that ball's going to hit. You know, I mean, even if it just catches a seam between the, you know, the infield dirt and the grass, it can go who knows where. You know, or, you know, if it hits a pebble or, you know, a base or, you know, all those other odd things. And, you know, that's kind of the oddity, you know, about baseball.
Yeah, I remember a game a few years ago, last of the ninth, the Cubs were ahead by a run. I think the other team had a couple of men on base. A routine ground ball to the first baseman that should have ended the game with the Cubs win. Hit a pebble, bounced up and over the head of the first baseman, and the Cubs wound up losing the game because of a bad hop. So crazy things happen in baseball.
Yeah, well, I believe there was a World Series game. I think Fred Merkle hit a ball. God, I can't remember. It might have been like 1908 or 09 that hit a pebble or a rock and got by the infielder and actually ended a World Series on a bad hop like that. And, I mean, you know, obviously we don't see it too much now because the infields are manicured, you know, to perfection. But, you know, every now and then you get that odd little hop off the seam because there's nothing you can do about it, or, you know, the ball hits the mound or something weird like that. But, yeah, it's, you know, again, and that's, you know, that's one of the things that kind of makes baseball baseball. So
yeah, it can be a scary game sometimes. And, of course, it's not as scary as football or hockey, but certainly injuries can happen, and we know that they can be quite serious.
Yeah, so, yeah, you know, it's not scary till you have that, you know, 90-mile-an-hour fastball whiz by your head while, you know. So
Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's a different story. But I wanted to cover something with you that Dan and I talked about yesterday, and I was just kind of thinking about this. You know, obviously we're going to get this just ridiculous 60-game season, but you know they're going to treat it like it's a regular 162-game season, and we're going to have a World Series champion, and they're going to hand out all their postseason awards. And, you know, I was thinking about that a little bit. And, like, you know, MVP, it's going to be obvious. Rookie of the Year, those kind of things. But what I'm wondering is when it comes to Cy Young, you know, are they going to be able to have enough input to pick a guy? Because if you look at it, 60 games, a guy's probably only going to make a maximum of 12 starts. Now, a multiple of those starts with the way Dave Roberts is talking is only going to be 4 innings. So, I mean, if you just take the premise that half their starts are 4 innings as they get warmed up, or we'll say 5, so they put in 20 innings in their first 5 starts, that gives them 7 starts left for the year, barring injury. You know, even if a guy goes 7 innings in his start, which starters rarely do now, that only gives him 69 innings for the year. How do you pick a Cy Young Award winner? Because, you know, they love to go with these starters, and I get it. You know, there could be guys putting up ERAs of 1.0 because of how they're going to be handled. But can you really have a clear-cut Cy Young Award winner like that? Or is it time that this is finally the year a reliever wins it again?
Well, it has happened once or twice, but I have to think that it would be based on ERA, even though it's a very limited amount of pitches, because everybody's in the same situation. All the pitchers will be in the same situation, right? So you could base it only upon the performance of the pitchers who are only going to pitch the 4 or 5 innings and base it on that, although everything this year – when the awards are given out, would have to become with some kind of asterisk behind it.
Yeah, you know, but the difference could be, I mean, you could get a reliever that could possibly appear in 55 games. You know, now obviously they wouldn't have, you know, well, actually their innings might not be too bad, because if they're all throwing an inning, they're, you know, they're going to have 50 innings. That, you know, the starter's only going to have 70 something. So, you know, I mean, if you get a closer who could possibly go out there and dominate,
yeah,
you know, is it really possible that, yeah, they might have to go, oh, okay, hey, look, we've got to consider this guy?
Did Mike Marshall win the Cy Young one year? I'm trying to remember now. I mean, I know there have been one or two.
Yeah, Mike won it in 1974. I believe he pitched in over 100 games that season, too.
Yeah. I thought so. I just, you know, it's hard to remember all these. What about Dennis Eckersley? Did he ever win one?
I don't think he did. Did he win one as a reliever? Yeah, he's actually the last reliever to win the American League Cy Young. He won it in 1992.
Sorry, it's going back almost 30 years or so.
Well, in the American League, they did have a reliever win in 2003. So it's been 17 years since the last time a reliever won the Cy Young.
Yeah, and if a fluke happened this year, and say the Cubs or the White Sox are playing in the playoffs, or they go a lot farther than everybody thought, and would that be as exciting to you as, say, 2016 or 2005? It wouldn't in my book.
No, the sad part is none of this is going to be exciting to me. Yeah, it'll be great to have baseball back because it's baseball. And, you know, I know I keep saying, yeah, I'm not going to watch. I'm done with it, blah, blah, blah. I damn well know I'm going to end up turning on the games. That's just how I am. You know, I'll act all tough, but when it comes down to it, I'm going to want to watch baseball. But, yeah, the problem is it's going to be so meaningless that I'm really not going to care who wins what. And, you know, they've damaged the World Series so much for a guy like me. You got to remember, with my work schedule, I can only watch one or two innings. So, you know, it really doesn't matter who's in it because I can't see it because of the TV schedule.
Yeah, I remember when I started watching baseball, there was no night games in the World Series. None. Zero. No night games. Every game was in the afternoon. This went on for quite a while, too.
I remember having to run home from school to catch afternoon World Series games, you know, because they would start at like 3 o'clock. So, yeah, I would, run as my chubby little legs could carry me to get home to see as much of the game as I could.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember how far back. It's got to be, 25, 30 years when they were almost, well, of course, the World Series exclusively is at night, but there's still some playoff games that are in the afternoon, the late afternoon.
Yeah. You know, and I assume this year we'll get probably more because they have the expanded playoffs. So they're going to have to figure a way to get all those games in. No, it's going to depend on where you're playing because, you know, certain areas are starting to allow, a certain amount of fans back in. I know it's not baseball, but I saw where the Indianapolis 500, when they run that, they're going to be allowed to fill the stadium to 50%. I did see hear a thing on the news about the Cubs. There is a possibility that they'll be allowed to let 8,000 people into the game when they start playing. So I would assume the same number would be true for the White Sox. It would be a little bit like a regular White Sox game. Boom, boom. Oh, sorry.
That's pretty good. Unfortunately, true. And of the 8,000, I mean, are they all going to be season ticket holders? And is it going to be alternating between Group A, Group B, Group C of all of the season ticket holders? Or can the casual fan actually try to come in among those 8,000 fans? How are they going to work that one out?
Yeah, that decided. And again, I, you know, that's going to be done on a team by team basis, because, you know, in some areas like Texas, they'll be allowed to let, you know, as of right now, they'll be allowed to let more fans into the building than any of the other states will, you know, just because their rules are different than everybody else's. But yeah, I'm willing to guess in some places, you know, like Florida now, I wouldn't be surprised if they're playing in front of nobody. But again, to be fair, Tampa Bay generally plays in front of nobody. There's
what
another
difference,
one.
Right? No difference. No
yeah.
difference there. Another rim shot by John.
So, you know, yeah, it's not like the Marlins draw all that well either, Derek
no,
Jeter. Get your
right.
head out of your butt. But yeah, so, yeah, it's just going to be a case by case scenario on who gets in. And, you know, I know like the Giants today, or it might have been yesterday, they actually mentioned that it doesn't look like they're going to have fans. So they asked their season ticket holders to take a picture of themselves and send it to them, and the Giants will put it on a standee and put it in the crowd.
For example, you see those commercials in the back by the back of the backstop, that type of thing, which they change from inning to inning. Well, of course, the fans at the ballpark don't see that. That's superimposed by the telecast. Maybe they'll do the same thing now with the games, like you suggested. Some augmented sound and simulated crowds.
You know, as long as they don't make the mistake that Japanese team did and go out and buy sex dolls and put them in the crowd. So.
Well, then the fans will be watching that more than the ball game.
It was a Korean team, not a Japanese team. I got to get
okay.
my right there. So Japan hasn't started yet. Korea is actually playing. But, yeah,
well,
that would be a big mistake.
So you're saying the Korean team has started playing already?
Yeah, the Korean baseball organization has been playing for a while. They're actually the Mickey Mouse Network actually shows a game every morning. If you're up at like 3 or 4 in the morning, you can catch Korean baseball.
So if I turn to that, I'll be able to watch Addison Russell in action? Is that what you're saying?
You know, I don't know yet. I don't know if he's playing. I know he just signed. But there are some familiar names like Tyler Saladino, the former White Sox, is playing over there this year. So you will catch some names that you recognize along with the Korean players. But, yeah, it's kind of you know, I've watched a little of it. It's interesting. I mean, it's akin to maybe somewhere between double and triple A.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. If it was double A, triple A, maybe you said the kind of between those two. And haven't they done a good job, Korea, in keeping the pandemic down there? Or am I thinking of
yeah.
another
oh,
country?
Yeah. No, they've done a good job. But, of course, you know, they're not allowed to play yet. So, you know, that's also helping things, too. But, hey, look at that. It's time for us to go already. Wow. All right. The music we found is going to be going for Monday. We're going to be on the way. You know the deal when we're on the way. So it's time on the laptop. They're going to be blogs tomorrow morning. This is the way. Follow them to the Facebook page. If you don't like the show, you have to put it at Sports Time Radio. And I'm out there on Twitter at Sports Time. The CULFAB. Hey, if you're still following us, you and I live, thank you for joining us. But you know, if you're